We read together James chapter 1 this morning, the Word of God at James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So far we read the inspired word of God. It's on the basis of that passage, especially the end of what we just read there concerning the law, and in harmony with all of God's Word, that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 44, question and answer 115. This morning we consider just that last question and answer 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking the remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, next week, Sunday morning, the Lord willing, we will, as a congregation, partake of the Lord's Supper together. Let us, as a congregation, be worthy partakers of communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul describes an unworthy and a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper. In verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, he describes an unworthy partaker. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And then in contrast to that, the Apostle Paul describes one who is a worthy partaker. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. A worthy partaker of communion is one who examines himself. Part of the examination of ourselves involves seeing who we truly are. When we examine ourselves, what we are doing is looking at ourselves. If we are going to do that properly, we need to use the tool that God gives to us in order to see ourselves for who we really are by nature. We do that if we want to look at ourselves physically. We use a tool that God gives for us, and that's a mirror. It's true that we can look at ourselves without a mirror. We can see portions of our body without a mirror. But if we really want to look at ourselves, if we want to see what is most important, that which distinguishes us from everyone else, we need to see our face. And we can't see our face without a mirror. But when we look into a mirror, then we have, looking right back at us, what we really look like. Beloved, the exact same thing is true spiritually. God gives us a tool that we are to use so that we are able very clearly to see what we look like by nature. He gives us a mirror. And that mirror, as we read in James chapter 1, is the perfect law of liberty. One of the ways in which we look into that perfect law of liberty that shows us what we look like is through the preaching of that law. And that's the subject of the end of Lord's Day 44 that we consider this morning. Why would God have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached? And the answer gets at the heart of what self-examination is all about. We preach the law so that in the preaching of the law, we see ourselves and we see our sin, are led to Jesus Christ, and through that, conformed more and more to the image of God. It's that truth that we consider this morning, the preaching of the law of God. The first point of the sermon is the strict preaching of God's law. And then in the second place, we consider this morning the positive fruit for the believer. Preaching the law of God, the strict preaching of the law, and the positive fruit for the believer. The last question and answer of Lord's Day 44 flows out of what has come before it in the previous two questions and answers. Lord's Day 44 is an explanation in the first place of the 10th commandment. That's the first question and answer in the Lord's Day. When we considered the 10th commandment, we learned that what God demands in His law is perfection. The 10th commandment is unique because it is the one commandment that speaks strictly to the heart. And from that, we learned last week that God is teaching the deeper truth concerning the law, that what He demands is not just outward obedience, but He demands perfection in the heart. That even the smallest inclination or thought contrary never to any of the commandments ever arise in our heart, but that at all times we hate sin with our whole heart and delight in all righteousness. That was the first question and answer. The second question and answer of the Lord's Day asks, what does that mean for us then? If that's what God demands in His law, What does that say about us as believers in our life on this earth right now? How are we to view ourselves in light of that demand of God and His law? The answer that the Catechism gives is a very good description of how we need to see ourselves and what we have in us. We are those, the Catechism says, that have only a small beginning of the new obedience. We have a beginning because we have the life of Jesus Christ in us, but it's a small beginning because of what God demands, which is perfection, in light of the fact that we still have a sinful nature that clings to us. Now, in light of those two truths, we come to the last question and answer in Lord's Day 44, which is basically, if that's true, if we have only a small beginning, if we cannot keep perfectly the law of God as He demands, why then does God have the law preached? We can't keep it in the way that God requires. What is the point of hearing sermons on the law of God? And it's that question that is answered in these two ways in the answer to question 115. Before we get to the why of the preaching of God's law, what I want to do in the first point of the sermon is explain the question itself. The question in 115 is significant. What's significant about this is the fact that the writers of the Heidelberg Catechism take for granted the fact that God wants the law preached. They are not asking and answering the question, should we, in light of what we have just heard in the first two questions and answers, preach strictly the law of God? That's not the question. The question is, why would God have the law strictly preached? They assume this is what God wants done. He wants His law strictly preached. And it's that idea that I want to focus on at the beginning of the sermon in the first point, the question itself concerning the will of God that the commandments be strictly preached. And then in the second point of the sermon, we'll get into the positive fruit of that for you and me as believers in the church. We're dealing here in the question with the preaching of the law of God. There's a good use of the law of God in our lives, generally speaking. We use the law in our everyday life during the week. We use the law in our raising of our children. But the focus of the question in 115 is narrower than that. We're talking very specifically about not just the general use of God's law, but the preaching of God's law. And that's important for two reasons. Number one, it emphasizes the fact that when the law of God is preached, the one who is speaking to you is Jesus Christ. That's due to what preaching is. Preaching is the official proclamation of the gospel by a herald of Jesus Christ. In the ancient days, every king had a herald. The herald was the man that was invested with authority by the king, and he would be sent off by the king to speak on behalf of the king. He would go to the citizens of the kingdom, or he would go to another country and talk to a dignitary, and when he spoke, he was speaking the word of the king himself. Beloved, that's what preaching is. It's a man invested with authority by Christ to be the herald of Jesus Christ, to speak the very word of Jesus Christ. And therefore, when the word is preached, it's not a man that is speaking, but it's the King Himself, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." They hear His voice in the preaching of the gospel. Now, beloved, that's very important when we consider the preaching of the Ten Commandments. It's Christ who is speaking to you, when He explains and when He applies the Ten Commandments of God's law. That's so important for us, because in the course of preaching on the Ten Commandments and in the course of applying those Ten Commandments, at times they strike a nerve in us. When in the course of a sermon, we're touched by something very specifically and it speaks directly to what I am facing and what I am fighting in my life. And the fact is, beloved, when we hear that, it's hard to hear. And one of the temptations that we have when we hear those commandments and when we hear those applications sinfully is to say, what does He have the right to do in saying that? He's a sinner Himself who is pointing out these things that are my sins and violations of these commandments. And at times like that, it's when we need to remember this. When the commandments are explained and when the applications are given, when they are faithful to the Word of God, it's not a man pointing out your sin and touching that nerve. It's Jesus Christ, because it is the law preached. Whenever we hear the Ten Commandments preached, we need to remember that it's Christ who is speaking to us. The second reason it's important to remember that we're dealing here with the preaching of the commandments is that it illustrates the fact that the commandments have a place in the gospel. This is due to what preaching is. Preaching is the authoritative declaration of a word by a herald of Christ, but the content of preaching is always what? It's always gospel. Jesus' good news that He is the one who came to save sinners through His precious blood, His crucifixion on the cross, and His resurrection from the grave. Paul said, I preach Christ crucified. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The content of all preaching must be gospel, the good news of salvation from sin in Christ. And now we come to Lord's Day 44, and we hear this word that God would have His commandments preached. What that means is that these two things are not opposed to each other. It's not one thing over here, gospel, good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, and then something over here, the Ten Commandments that God demands perfection. Those are not antithetical to each other. And here's why God wants the Ten Commandments preached. In the gospel, in the setting forth of that good news of salvation, there is a place, a very good place, for the law of God. And that is why God wants them preached. And always, beloved, always, not just in the preaching, but in all of our use of God's law, we need to remember that. It all has an eye on the gospel, on Jesus Christ Himself. And we'll get to that in the second point when we see that the sin that it reveals drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question in 115 speaks of the preaching of the commandments, and we explained why that's important. The other part of the question that is significant is the manner in which these commandments are to be preached. Not only must we preach them, but according to the question, they must be preached in the proper way. And that's where the words "so strictly" come into the equation. Why will God then have the commandments so strictly preached? Preach them the right way, the Catechism says. The strict preaching of the commandments is a preaching of the commandments that is in harmony with the previous two questions and answers that revealed to us the true nature of what God requires in His law. If the commandments are going to be preached strictly, they're going to be preached from this point of view. God demands in our hearts that we love Him perfectly. What is not a strict preaching of the law is exactly what the Pharisees did in the days of Jesus. Their teaching and their setting forth of the law of God is that all that God requires is outward obedience. Just as long as in an outward way we follow the commandments, then our standing before God is good. That's not a strict preaching of the law. It doesn't get to the true obedience that God demands, which we learn from the 10th commandment is perfection in the heart. We need to preach the commandments as Jesus preached them. He preached the commandments in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. And when he preached on the 6th commandment in killing, he said, "You have heard that the law has said, thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother, his heart is guilty of damnation. You have heard that the law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoever lusts is guilty of adultery." Jesus preached the commandments strictly, and so must we. We need to do that because the strict preaching of the commandments touches every single one of us. Every time, every single commandment is preached. Beloved, if the law of God is preached in the proper way, nobody can escape it on any of the commandments. But if it's preached in the proper way and if it's received in the proper way, we have to stand before that law and see us for what we really look like. And this becomes so important in light of it being a preparatory sermon this morning. When we hear the law and think about the law, in its right way, it touches every single one of us. But that only happens when the law is preached strictly. When it's preached from the point of view of what God truly demands in that law. And we understand, too, why this is so important for us to grasp a hold of. When we hear a commandment preached on, by nature, our first inclination is not to look at ourselves. We hear a commandment preached on, and the first thing that we want to do by nature is go in our minds to somebody across the pew or somebody outside of these walls that we know has violated this commandment. And in the course of hearing a sermon on that commandment, all we do is think about everyone else that we know is guilty of that commandment. But if the law is preached strictly, and if we receive it for what it truly requires, we're not going there first. But in the midst of hearing the gospel preached on every commandment, we're seeing our own hearts and that I don't measure up just as much as that person that I know about who committed sins against this commandment. As we think about self-examination, it's very important to hear the law in that way. And I hope and pray that in the past few months, it's been preached from that perspective and it's been received from that perspective. So that now as we anticipate the Lord's Supper next week Sunday morning, we do it with hearts that truly understand the depth of our sin. The last thing to take note of, as it's found in the question, is the fact that this is what God requires. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached? The writers of the Catechism ask. It's not my idea to stand up here and preach the Ten Commandments and to preach the perfection that God demands in those Ten Commandments. It's not the elders' idea to tell me to do that as a minister. This is God's will for His people. God wants us to hear the Ten Commandments preached. And when you read the Scriptures, you understand why that's true. He makes it clear in the Scriptures the important place that the law of God has in our lives. He gives us Psalm 119, from which we sung earlier in the worship service, an entire psalm, the longest psalm, all dedicated to the law and precepts of God, so that we understand them, so that we view them properly, so that we see what they do in our lives. He gives us the example of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. As we pointed that out a moment ago from Matthew 5, Jesus preached strictly the commandments of God. He gives us the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy, where he says that the law of God is good and therefore has a good place in our life as believers. God will have His law preached. I said a moment ago that the elders aren't the ones that force me to do this. I said that to make the point that this comes from God, but an application does fall upon them. Understanding that this is the will of God, they need to see to it that regularly the law of God is proclaimed to us as a congregation. We need to understand this. When we hear the law is preached, that this is God's will for us as His people, and we need to be thankful for what God has given us in the Heidelberg Catechism as well. He's given us the Heidelberg Catechism, which leads us about every year and a half to very closely examine the Ten Commandments that God has given to us as a church. It's not our first inclination to go to the law and preach it, but when we go through the Catechism, we see the importance of hearing these commandments on a regular basis in our lives. Just another advantage and value to preaching regularly from the Heidelberg Catechism. That's the question. Now we get into the answer. God will have His law preached, and here is why. So we see now in the second point of the sermon that not only is the content of the law important, what it says, how it's applied to our lives, but the function of the law is important as well. We need to know the content, but we need to realize when that content is proclaimed to us, it serves a very good function. And that's what the answer to question 115 gets at. It highlights two positive purposes of preaching the law of God. The first is that we may more and more know our sin. The second is that we will more and more be conformed to the image of God. When the law is preached to us, it reveals to us our sin. Paul says that in Romans 3, verse 20, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." He says the same thing in Romans 7, verse 7. What I want to do this morning is focus on that truth as it is explained in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, the apostle speaks about the law. He speaks about the law as a mirror, which shows to us what we look like. When the law is preached, beloved, in the way that we talked about it earlier, it's as though what happens is a giant mirror comes across, and we're all sitting here, myself including, staring at that mirror, giving us a clear reflection of what we look like. That's what James chapter 1 teaches us. James chapter 1 at the end is emphasizing being a doer of the law, a doer of the Word of God. And that's why James chapter 1 really combines the two points that the Heidelberg Catechism makes in answer to the question that we are talking about. But notice that in James chapter 1, verse 22, this is the focus of that section. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." That's the word of James. He wants those who read this epistle, he wants us as a church to be not just hearers, but doers. He He goes on in the next two verses to describe a hearer only. And then he gets in verse 25 to one who is a hearer and a doer. He contrasts those two types of people. This is what he says about a hearer only, verse 23 and 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So this describes a hearer only. He looks into a mirror, he sees his natural face, literally the face of his birth. He sees it, he understands it, he knows what he looks like. But then this is the characteristic of a hearer only. He goes forward and he forgets what manner of man he was. He forgets what he looks like. Now that's very important. What does he forget? He forgets what he looks like. He doesn't forget the mirror that showed him what he looked like. He forgets what manner of man he is. That's a hearer only. Now we get to the doer. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This is a doer. The one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Now when we read that, our first inclination is to say that what he continues in is doing the law that just showed him what he looked like. But that's not, I believe, what the apostle is saying in this verse. Number one, take note of the fact that therein in your Bibles, and it's in italics. Literally, it's, but he continues. Now we need to contrast that with what we just read about concerning the hearer only. The hearer only looks into the mirror, sees himself, but he doesn't continue in something. What does he not continue in? Remembering what he looks like. He forgets what manner of man he is. And in contrast to that, a doer of the law, a doer of the Word of God, looks into the law of liberty, sees his natural face, and continues. What does he continue in? He continues in the knowledge of what he looks like. That man is a doer of the Word. Beloved, we don't forget the law. We know the law. We know the Ten Commandments. We're not a doer of the Word when we forget who we are and when we forget the depth of our sin. The perfect law of liberty, beloved, is what shows us our natural face, as the text says. When we stare into the perfect law of liberty, it shows us the face of our birth, literally. Perfect law of liberty shows us very clearly who we are by nature. It shows us our sin. And that's why it's so important that the law be preached strictly. When the mirror that's rolled out in front of us, when the law is preached, is the correct mirror that shows us what we really look like. And when we really see what we look like, it's not pretty. In fact, it's pretty ugly. It's nasty. It's disgusting. We see something terrible. We see our natural face. We see who we are in Adam because that law shows us the depth of our sin. And that's what the Catechism is talking about. We don't measure up. And that is why when we hear that law proclaimed, as we have in the past few months, it needs to serve this purpose, that it drives us straight to Jesus Christ. There is one person and there is one work that can take our natural face that we receive from Adam that is ugly and make it beautiful and righteous. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's why law always has a place in the preaching because law always serves the gospel of bringing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. See yourselves in the law of God this morning. See your natural face. See your sin. See your filth. And go straight to the cross and believe that in that cross you're made beautiful and righteous and ultimately holy. And now we see the connection between the first point the Catechism makes and the second point the Catechism makes. Remember the theme of James 2 here. The theme of the end of James 2 is being a doer of the Word. That's exactly what the end of the Catechism is talking about. Being more and more conformed to the image of God. Who is a doer of the Word? The one who looks into the law and continues. Remember what we said. He remembers what manner of man he is. He remembers his sin. And that's why these two points in the Heidelberg Catechism are parallel. They go together. They go side by side. When you have the one, you have the other. And notice the language is even similar. First, that we may more and more know our sinful nature. And then the end of the catechism, that we may become more and more conformed to the image of God. And those two go together. The more and more we know our sin, the more and more we will be conformed to the image of God. And that's James chapter 1. Now, why is that the case? How does that work? Because the more and more we know our sin, from that law that shows it to us, the more and more we're driven to Jesus Christ. And the more we have front and center in our life the cross of Jesus Christ. And the more we have that cross front and center in our lives, the more we go forward out of the power of that cross and out of thanks for that cross. But where does it start? It starts here. The law, demanding perfection, that shows us who we are by nature. We need that law, therefore. We need it preached. We need it for the sake of the gospel, as it applies to you and as it applies to me, so that we would see our sin and not be driven to despair, but that we would see our sin and driven to hope. Because the only place we have hope is in Jesus Christ. And clinging to that cross by faith, we see that same law as the guide for thanks, and we go forward out of the power of that cross of Jesus Christ. And are, therefore, in the way of more and more knowing our sin, more and more conformed to the image of God in the language of James chapter 1, we more and more become not only hearers, but doers of His Word. Beloved, consider this morning the truth of the law preached. Consider it in the light of the sermon this morning. Consider this truth in light of the past few months as we have heard sermons on the Ten Commandments. Understand what God demands. See your natural face from that law. See your sin. Do that in this week. And in this week, cling to Christ by faith and come next week Sunday morning as a worthy partaker of the Lord's Supper. And may God so use that to this end as well, that we would be more and more conformed to His image. Amen.